NBA. Straya, how you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Straya. It's Tuesday, April 24. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places. Basically, everyone who wants to pay me money. Just hanging out in Larry Armour Studios here in New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today, just while repping Straya a little bit. It is NBA Straya after all. Nice. So today's show wraps a fun-ass night of playoff games. We'll wrap Rockets, Wolves, and Thunder Jazz. Ooh, that was tasty. Tasty night. Bit testy out there in Utah. And we also have the playoff editions of the usual dumbassery. Yeah, nah. The unpopular opinion of the day. Outback Takehouse. Get some shrimp with your hot takes. And as we do every day, because all of them are in the playoffs, we've got the Daily Australian Player Watch. And I'll tell you what, Joe Ingles caused some problems last night on your jingler. I'll also preview the three awesome games this evening, including potential closeouts in Philly and Golden State, and the next installment of Delian Thon versus Bangers in Boston Bucks. How good is this? We also have a new Shane Heal Memorial Shoot Your Shot Random Guy going ham of the week. And fittingly enough, after last night, we'll finish up with a brand new Joe Ingles HR Manager. Oh, it's so good. Let's do it. It's episode 104. It's, what is it, Tuesday? It's NBA Australia. Let's go.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Manny Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. And Shaq and his horrible Aussie accent last night was pretty bad. So I'm watching out for all Shaq attacks now. I think he actually ended up sounding like a pirate. Shaq was actually like, hello, Joe. It's like, well, that's English. And he's like, shivvy me timbers, mate. And I'm like, Joe Ingles isn't a fucking pirate, Shaq. Jesus Christ. Anyway, this is the Daily Whip Rounds. We'll get to Joe Ingles versus Charles Barkley and Shaq later. First off, in Minnesota last night, Houston win 119 over the Wolves 100. This was an absolute beatdown. Houston go up 3-1 in the series. Wolves led by 9 early. Houston had them by 1 at the half. And then what happened? Oh, Houston happened. Holy shit. 50 points in the third quarter. 50 fucking points. What? That is unbelievable. That's the second most all-time in a playoff quarter since 1960 bloody two, mate. How do you score 50 points in a quarter? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'll tell you. Turns out you score 40 of them on three-pointers and free throws. That's some tasty Rockets right there. The crazy part is Houston did this by like basically going absolutely bananas. They started off 1 of 14 from 3. That's ridiculous. And then they turn around and go, now we're actually going to score 50 fucking points in a quarter. That is a very aggressive regression to the mean. Holy crap. So what? If they go 1 of 14, they then finish 16 of 43. That is unbelievable. So 15 of 29 the rest of the way. Jesus! All right, so Wolves, big Karl Anthony Towns was actually okay last night. 22 points, 15 rebounds, 2 assists. Jimmy Butler out there doing Jimmy Buckets things. 19 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. And Wigo Wiggins. God damn it, I want more out of my number one picks, I'll tell you that much. 14 points on 14 shots, and the usual Andrew Wiggins, Maple Jordan. No help to anyone else. 1 assist, 3 rebounds. Yeah, shit. El Jefe Teague, speaking of shit, he was rubbish. 2 points on 1 of 7 shooting. 5 assists, nothing else from Taj Gibson there as well. 2 points in 20. Belicha, he had 7. But look, the only guy actually helped the Wolves, I'll tell you. Off the bench. Oh, Derek fucking Rose again. Well, and also Jamal Crawford, but Derek Rose, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He goes 7 of 11 from the field, and also 2 of 2 on threes. The resurrection of Derek Rose. This is amazing. I'm loving every second of it because, look, the fact that he looks so washed and the dude is like 28 is beyond sad. So let's go, Derek. I love it. Jamal Crawford also finally, after breaking everybody else's ankles across 16 years in the NBA, finally broke his own ankles. This is pretty weird. He went at Chris Paul, tried to cross him up, and tripped himself up. Old age. it gets all of us, including Jamal Crawford. So for Houston, as mentioned, they go 16-43 from three overall. Fast Jimmy Harden there. James Harden, Zebird, started 0-7 and then completely smashed it from there on the way to 36 points. This was a hell of a show there, James. 22 points in the third quarter. We'll talk about that in a second, but damn. Pretty good, just all around. Great game. He had also, what, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. Crushing it. Chris Paul, the NBA's biggest whinger. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Not bloody bad. 5 fouls as well. Wait, no, 5 steals. That was different. Gotta read my own handwriting. 5 steals for Chris Paul. 4 steals for Fast Jimmy Harden. Crushing it, mates. Pretty good. Chris Paul had 15 in the third. So if you add those up, that's, 22 points for Jimmy, 15 for Chris Paul. Not bad, mate. Not bad in one quarter. Trevor Ariza had 15. Eric Gordon had 18 on 14 shots. 14 and 17 for Clint Capela. But that third quarter, holy shit. This was incredible. They just went, nah, fuck you, and ran Kat and Taj absolutely ragged in these high screens. And all Harden and Paul did was just go fucking ballistic and couldn't miss. We'll talk about Harden specifically a little bit later, but Jesus, this was a hell of a smackdown in 9 minutes of a quarter where they just go, yeah, we're actually probably the most potent offense that you've seen apart from like maybe the Warriors 2 years ago. Just saying. Unbelievable by Houston. So they moved to 45-4 when Harden, Paul, and Kampala are all playing. 45-4. Yeah, that'll do it. Great game for Houston. Look, they needed that as well. Wolves, dunno, mate. Just dunno. That's a bit of a downer there, bro. Moving on, also down is OKC and their performance in Utah last night. Jazz win 113-96. They go up 3-1 in their series as well. And whoo! What a game. What a matchup. 7 total texts given out in this. Jay Crowder gets ejected for elbowing Stephen Adams in the head. And Stephen Adams, bro. Oh, did you just elbow me in the head, bro? I barely felt it, eh, bro? Didn't flinch. This was fucking incredible. But this was an incredible game. The Thunder seemingly had a little bit in hand in the first half. And then the Jazz finished the half on an 11-3 run. Fired up by none other than Jingling Joe Ingles. Just out there crushing it. Dropping shots all over the top of Paul George. This is amazing. And the Thunder, they just shit the bed from there. They had 2 total assists in the second and third quarters. This was absolutely horrific basketball. They took quick, bad shots. There's zero ball movement, literally zero. They had 10 assists for the entire game. 5 of those were in the first quarter. How do you have 5 assists across 3 fucking quarters of basketball, OKC? Jesus. Well, I'll tell you how. OKC, not led by Melo. Is it me you're looking for? I'm taking bad shots. I'm sticking up the joint. They just call me Melo. Oh, this was unbelievably bad from Carmelo Anthony. 11 points on 5 of 18 shooting. Kobe, 0 of 6 from 3. Did nothing else, literally. Like 0 assists, 6 rebounds. Looked like an absolute washed flog out there. Barely played defense. Look. Has he been getting into those OKC steakhouses as well? Like, Jesus, he needs to go on a cleanse and do yoga for like 3 fucking weeks just to tighten up that rig there, Melo. But absolute shit show from Melo. Russell Westbrook, not too much better after talking about he was going to kill Rubio. And what happened to him? Oh, he got
straight killed.
He got straight killed. 23 points on only slightly better shooting than Carmelo himself. 7 of 18 from the field. 0 of 3 from 3. 23 points total. Also has 14 rebounds. But come on, man. Like, maybe just get Stephen Adams some of those rebounds and get him involved. Because instead, Adams is sort of stuck there going, okay, bro, I'm going to just run from end to end. Then he had 9-7, did Stephen Adams, bro. And you know what the correlation of OKC winning and Stephen Adams having a good game is? Real fucking high. Come on, man. Rusty, 14 rebounds, 3 assists. 3. Yeah. Oh, everybody else missed their shots. Well, to be honest, they shot 39% from the field. So, look, 33 of 84, they did miss a lot of shots. So maybe Rusty missed out on a couple of assists there, but also not much of a fucking leader there. 23 on 18 shots. Paul George, he was all right. 32 points, 2 of 9 from 3, 9 of 21 overall. got roasted by Joe Ingles, as mentioned on Twitter on NBA Australia. He got more fucking cooked by Joe Ingles than a burnt snag by a tired dad down the Bunnings sausage sizzle on a Saturday morning. Oh, Paul George. Joe Ingles got him. 18 total points from the bench, 7 of 16 they shoot, and 3 of those came in the last second, Alex Sabrina's 3. So really, it's probably about 15 total points that actually mattered. Ray Felton, fatty Ray Felton, out there running around, and you're like, really? This is what it's come to. T-Fur got out there for a minute. Josh Huestis at 6 minutes. Didn't do anything. Jesus. So there you go. OKC, absolutely brutal. Corey Brewer, just, ugh. Don't know what happened to him either. See how they go, bounce back at home maybe. What happens? Anyway, the Jazz, how's this though? They passed the ball 62 more times than the Thunder in this game. 62 more times, 62 more passes. They had 21 assists. That's more than double what the Thunder had. They also out-rebounded them, out-shot them, and just out-executed. This was a great game for the Jazz. They just looked amazing. Look, and so we talked about 18 points off the bench for your OKC. Only 18 from the Utah bench at home as well, which is slightly worrying. But the thing is, it didn't quite matter because the starters fucking crushed it. Rubio, not quite as good a game as his triple-double in Game 3. He had 13, 6, and 8. Didn't quite get shut down there by Rusty. Did you there, Rusty? What do you reckon? Especially when he hit a massive big dagger 3 over Russ late that just basically put it out of reach, and that was all she wrote. 16 and 10 for Rudy Gobert, the Staffel Tower. Actually, go back to Ricky Tiki Tata, Ricky Rubio. How good is that, like, hair combination assisting? It's like he's finally, like, hit, you know, the actual sort of strides that we all expected back when he was taken 5. He just looks good at the moment. He shot 1 of 6 and 4 of 12. 1 of 6 from 3, 4 of 12 overall, but damn. You just got to hope that, I guess, that he doesn't fall off a cliff shooting-wise in the next couple of games. 16 and 10, as mentioned, for this Staffel Tower. It's Rudy Gobert. Derek Favors, 13 and 4, laying wood everywhere. A couple of big screens from Favors. But it was the Jingles and Donovan show, woo, that brought the Jazz home. And I'll tell you what, that is a very white crowd in there in Utah. Holy shit. Because they're like, they're going so bananas, they keep showing the crowd. You're like, oh yeah? So, look, I know you've got, you know, other people than just white folk in Utah, but apparently not many of them go into the basketball. Jingler stifled Paul George, hit all 5 of his threes in playoff P's face as well. Goes 5 of 11 from 3, 6 of 12 overall. Ends up with 20 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. Talking shit. Got teed up. This is fucking great. Getting Paul George all just like, whoa, what are you talking about, bro? Fuck off. Jingler's like, hey, eat a dick. Fuck you. Amazing game from Jingler. Especially he started 0 of 4. So he then turned it around and started dropping bombs in Paul George's face. That got them on that run at the end of the first half and really, really catapulted them in the second half. On your jingle. But really, the story of the night was Donovan fucking Mitchell. Holy shit, mate. 13 of 28, 3 of 8 from 3 for 33 points. A new Jazz franchise playoff record for a rookie, overtaking Karl Malone. Anytime you can overtake the mailman Karl Malone, that's a not a bad result there for Donovan Mitchell. And the best part is the way he did it was just so goddamn impressive. He hit 9 of his 13 made shots were at the rim off these amazing sneaky drives. Or like the way he gets the ball to fall every time. He just has like this kind of slightly off-kilter weird timing to a lot of his shots that's like very D-Wade-esque, right? And you're like, oh, cool. So he's now at the basket. Oh, the ball's in. It's done. Like, you'd expect him as a rookie to get blocked way more often than he does. That was fucking crazy. So 3 of 8 from 3. 9 of his 13 made shots are at the rim. So he only hit one other shot that wasn't a 3 or basically a layup. Unbelievable. On your Donovan Mitchell. So there you go. The Jazz go up 3-1. And gee, what do you reckon? Is that the OKC Thunder cooked? We'll talk about that later in, So let's move on to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not that nice. That's a knife.
Wow, James Harden, fast Jimmy Harden, the beard. How's that third quarter? That is a fucking knife because he outscored the Wolves by himself. He had 22 points in the quarter. The Wolves only had 20. The craziest part is, this is one of the coolest stats I've seen. The thing is, the Wolves contested every single one of those points. He went 7 of 10 from in the third, and each of those shots was contested. And it didn't matter. Harden hit fucking all of them on his way to 36. Holy moly. But come on. Come on. You don't think we're not going to give the NBA Australia Pro Performance of the Night to Jingling Joe Ingles? Woo, you're laughing, you joker. Jingling Joe Ingles, three straight threes right in Paul George's mug to turn this game for the Jazz at the half. That was a fucking show. 20 points. Got the old chat with Chuck and Shaq after the game, and that was absolutely legit because he's out there talking shit about Shane Hill. Well, Charles Barkley brought up Shane Hill. He's like, hey, do you know Shane Hill? Jingle's like, oh, yeah, he was my first coach. You fucking idiot. And it's like, aren't you afraid of him still, Charles? And you're like, oh, Jingler, you're getting him. Because guess what, Charles? You got jingled. That was an amazing performance by Joe Ingles last night. Absolutely crushed it. Shaq's Aussie accent, though. The bit where he called, like, he started singing, I come from a land down under, and, like, putting on his weird pirate Australian English accent. I don't know, Shaq. But Barkley, bring up Shane Hill. That was amazing. Also brought up the fact that the Aussie's pretty tough, I'll tell you. All right, so there you go. Joe Ingles and James Harden, they are the knives from last night. But who's old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Oh, who is old mates last night? Well, look, first off, it was the fucking announcing crew in the first game, Rockets Wolves. Kevin Harlan, he's out there with Reggie Miller. And look, Reggie Miller, absolute flog, actually called Ricky Rubio Marco Rubio and then didn't even know if Marco Rubio was a senator or a governor and was just falling over himself all fucking night when it came to names. It was ridiculous. Reggie, that flog Marco Rubio is a junior senator. You're an idiot. What the fuck are you even saying? How do you call him Marco Rubio? Thing is, old mate, no mates, it's actually got to be. A couple of other ones, other than Reggie Miller. He's just old mate, no mates all the time. So Russell Westbrook in Utah, he got booed as soon as he touched the ball, which I'm pretty sure is because he used a bad word. Those Mormons like, oh my God, did you hear him curse about Ricky Rubio? Oh my God, Russell Westbrook's the worst. It was brutal, man. Worse was more like the fact, though, that he's like, hey man, I'm going to shut down Ricky Rubio, right? And then proceeded to get four fouls in the first half. Oh, Rusty, that was a shit show. And also, got to call out the Wolves at home. That's old mate, no mates. Like Minneapolis, they show out for the Wolves. They're like, yes, game four, this is going to be sick. And then you lay a fucking egg and let a team score 50 fucking points in a quarter on you. Come on, man. This is only the second home playoff game they've had in 14 fucking years. And you shit the bed in the second half like a scared toddler. What the fuck was all that about? Yeah, the Wolves at home in Minneapolis, your old mate, no mates. All right, who was Bitches of the Night? Oh, it's our new segment, Bitches of the Night. Paul George, Playoff P. Yo, you got crossed up by slow-mo Joe Ingles. This is one of the things I didn't mention in the old That's Not a Knife, That's a Knife for Jingler, because it was so fucking good. It had to be Bitches of the Night for Paul George. Playoff P. Go out there, score some points. Hey, man, I'm Playoff P. How you going? Everyone's like, oh, he's sick. He's got a new nickname. Where have you been all the last three fucking games, Playoff P? You got crossed up by slow-mo Joe Ingles, and then he dropped off an amazing dish to Rudy Gobert. Paul George, you are the bitch ass of the night, because then Joe Ingles proceeded to hit three threes right in your fucking face, let you know about it, and you're like, oh. He just keeps hitting shots and then, like, complain to the ref. He's like, ref, this boy keeps picking on me. And then fucking Joe Ingles ends up with a tech foul for what exactly? Paul George runs into him. Joe's talking shit and he gets a fucking tech for hurting Paul George's fucking feelings. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, some great couple of scuffles in that Jazz Thunder game that probably came from Playoff P's teammates wanting to defend their pussy ass teammates. Sorry, Playoff P, you're our bitches of the night. All right, who was better than Lonzo Ball, though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think he'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Oh, you know, he's actually coming for everybody. Definitely not Lonzo Ball. He's probably in some receded gym with his fucking dad's bullshit, goddamn horrible big baller league. It's obviously going to be the one, the only, Donovan fucking Mitchell, 33 points, a Utah franchise record for a rookie, As mentioned, 13 to 28 from the field. 33 points, mate. The way he did it, amazing. But there's a couple of really good stats to come out of Donovan Mitchell's game last night. He is the third rookie in NBA history to outscore the reigning MVP in a playoff series if he continues on his current trajectory. That'd be behind Pistol Pete Maravich over Willis Reed in 1971 and only bloody Elgin Baylor over Bill Russell in 1959. Donovan fucking Mitchell is outscoring Rusty Westbrook in the fourth quarter over this series. 36 points to 13, shooting 52% in the fourth quarter versus Rusty's 33. Yeah, I'd say that's better than Lonzo Ball. On ya, Donovan fucking Mitchell. All right, we'll be back right after this with some Yeah Nas.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Street, eh? Cheer,
bro. All right, we're back. It's Yeah Nah. We take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, is Anthony Davis the best player in the playoffs at the moment? Yeah, nah. Yeah, of course he fucking is. Dude is a beast on both ends. Led his team to a sweep of the three seed. He's got the title at the moment, right? Like, LeBron's playing 46 minutes a game to get his fucking team over the hump against Indiana. Durant's slightly off. They lose a game to the Spurs. Meanwhile, AD is throwing up 33 points a game, 12 rebounds a game, and dropping 47 in a fucking closeout. Anthony Davis, that's number one. He's very good. Number two, yeah, nah. Did the coward Kevin Durant accidentally like a post giving Russell Westbrook shit and blaming him for OKC sucking? Yeah, nah. Nah, of course he didn't accidentally fucking hit it. And look, I'm actually a little bit surprised by the coward Kevin Durant being cowardly and not admitting to it like he did with his burner Twitter account. Mate, if you're that far in the comments and you like something, it's probably going to be on purpose and you don't expect someone to see it. Own up to it, Kevin. I'm going to have to keep calling you the coward. I don't want to. But hey, I didn't bring this on you. You brought this on you. Number three is Thunder Jazz done. We just talked about it. It's 3-1. Going back to OKC. Yeah, nah. Yeah. It is, isn't it? Thunder are 0-11 all time in series when down 3-1. The thing is, they just looked absolutely shithouse and tired and uncaring and D-U-N. Done. There's no defensive intensity, no ball movement on offense. As mentioned, those 10 assists in an entire fucking game of NBA basketball. No scheme that gets both Paul George and Melo involved when Rusty has the rock or when Ray Felton. Like, the fact that Ray Felton is out there and Melo is just missing everything is just a shit show. So, it pains me to say it, but not really, because Melo can go get fucked. This is horrible to watch. Okay, see you later. All right, look at me, look at me. The unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
I hope Paul George stays in OKC. I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion, but I really do believe that, because you know what? The drama that surrounds that team and Rusty Westbrook is perfect for today's NBA right now. This is so much fucking fun to be like, do they like each other? Can they do it? Are they any good? And it kind of always gives him a puncher's chance against anybody. And if he goes to like fucking the Lakers or whatever, it's like, oh, the Lakers are good. What a fucking surprise. Come on, man. Let's make this a little bit more interesting. So give me Paul George in OKC. I want that to happen. And now, for everybody's favorite, step in. It's Tuesday. That means double shrimp and double salad at Outback Takehouse. Get your flame grilled takes at Outback Takehouse. Also, blooming onions. What the fuck are those? Outback Takehouse for today. Joe Ingles is better. 30-year-old Joe Ingles, that's right, is better than Carmelo Anthony right now. And you know what? It's not even fucking close, mate. So, Joe Ingles got shut down in the first two games against the old Jazz right there, and, well, against the Thunder. And that was the problem. The Jazz are suddenly like, oh shit, when we don't have Joe doing stuff, everything else sort of falls apart, and suddenly they free up Joe, they figure out how to use him a little bit better, and bang, back-to-back 20-point games. He has 21 in Game 3, 20 in Game 4, absolutely crushing it. Meanwhile, Carmelo Anthony, ugh. He's gone 5 of 13, 6 of 18, 6 of 10, 5 of 18. That is absolutely horrendous. That is, like, legitimately. So what's that? That is 22 of 51 shooting. Not great, Melo. 15 points, 17 points, 14 points, 11 points. Meanwhile, Jingler is out there crushing it. His assist numbers are like... Melo hasn't had an assist in the last three fucking games. Jingler is out there crushing. He's got 4, 4, 2, and 1 in his last four. Joe Ingles, better player than Carmelo Anthony. It's just straight hashtag facts. All right, we'll be back with the NBA Australian Player Watch right after, let's say, this one.
G'day, this is Thon McCurr, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's Australian NBA Straya Player Watch. Ben Simmons, Game 5, back in Philly, trying to close out Miami tonight, US time. That's going to be awesome. Can't wait for that. Patty Mills, Game 5 versus the Warriors tonight as well, trying to keep their season alive in Golden State. How about Dante Exum and Joe Ingles last night, though? Jingler in the Game 4 win over the Thunder. As mentioned, 20 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 5 of 11 from 3, 6 of 12 overall, plus 15 for the game. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, only played 10 minutes, had 2 points. Goes a perfect 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 0 of 3 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3, 2 rebounds, 1 assist and a turnover. And look, still a really, really interesting change of pace, and just watching his length out there against like flogs like fucking Fatty Ray Felton, they have no idea what to do when Exum's out there. Exum's just like basically this weird fucking Australian octopus. Unreal. How about Dele? Game 5 is in Boston tonight as well. Same goes for Thon Song. Let's see if they can back up their 2 wins in Milwaukee and 2 very good games by Thon Song and Dele. Thing is, obviously the same thing goes for Aaron Bangers Baines. Game 5 for the Celtics in Boston tonight. See if Bangers can lay some fucking wood there. And there you go. That is the Australian Player Watch. Obviously, Andrew Bogut hanging out back in back with the Sydney Kings. Had his intro yesterday. Feeling pretty psyched on this, and so is everybody else. You know what? Basketball in Australia. Feeling good about it. You know, in a surprise twist, that's maybe why NBA Australia exists. So, just saying. All right, are you ready for it? It is time for everyone's favorite Shane Heal Show Your Shot. Random guy going ham. All-Star Hall of Fame time.
Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I am healed, because it is the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Random Guy Going Ham All-Star Hall of Fame of the Week. And that's pretty cool because Charles Barkley brought him up last night to Joe Ingles. Amazing stuff. And obviously Shane Heal would have been Joe Ingles' coach back on the old South Dragons. Unbelievable. So 23 years ago, Game 7 of the West Semifinals, we had Barkley and Olajuwon going at it, which was amazing. Because not for Barkley and Hakeem going at it. Oh, no. It was Kevin Johnson. That's right. Little KJ there, who turned in a Shane Heal level performance with 46 points in a Game 7 of the West Semis. In the absolute peak of how badass the goddamn West was, you had Barkley and KJ going up Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. Meanwhile, waiting for them at the other end of the in the Western Conference Finals were the fucking San Antonio Spurs and David Robinson. But still, KJ in Game 7 put the old mighty smackdown in a 1-point loss. Oh, can you believe it? What a game. 46 points. He goes 12 of 26 from the field. An absolutely patented, ridiculous 21 of 22 from the free throw line and only 1 of 2 from 3. That is absolutely bananas. He also had 10 assists. He has 46 points and 10 assists in a Game 7 that they lose by 1. Man, 1995 was a hell of a time, wasn't it? There you go. That was the West Semis as well. It goes Game 7. Oh, Barkley had 18 points on 16 shots in this game as well, but he had 23 rebounds. Meanwhile, Hakeem and Clyde had 29 each and would obviously go on to beat the Magic in the finals that year. But damn, love me some Kevin Johnson. He had such a fun-ass game, right? Really, really hampered by, what, weird hamstring and calf injuries for a lot of the rest of his career. But in 1995, that's like peak KJ. Drives, dishes everywhere, little floaters, fun stuff. And there you go. A 46 explosion gets him firmly into the Shane Heal Memorial. Random guy going ham, all-star, Hall of Fame. On you, KJ. All right, we'll be back right after this with the Matty Dellavedova Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board and our game previews for tonight. Let's do it.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
All right, we're back. It's time for the Matty Dellavedova Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board. Because, look, Patty, you're not helping me out, mate. Look, Patty is just gone. He's gone like zero dark 30. Same as LeBron with the old Twitter. The last thing we had out of Patty was coming back home to defend the Alamo for game three. So, look, not great. But Deli stepping up. Hey, Deli! Classic. He tweeted out yesterday. Huge news. Big eyes. Emoji. Congrats and well done at Andrew Bogut, at Sydney Kings, at NBL. Emoji. Thumbs up. As he retweeted out the new king in the house, NBL Twitter post says, Andrew Bogut officially joins the Sydney Kings on a two-year deal. So Deli, stoked. What do you reckon? I can see Deli back with Melbourne United in about 6 years' time. 39 years old. He's not that old. No, give it 10 years and I reckon Deli could be out there crushing it for Melbourne United. Oh, Jesus. I'd love that. What about the other guys? I reckon Patty Mills could end up there, maybe. Who else is old? Bangers. Oh, he'd definitely be out there laying wood for Brizzy in about 6 years. Nice. There you go. I'd like to see the rest. Imagine the rest of the NBA Australians, like, as they, you know, in the coming years, going back to the NBL, giving back to the game. I love it. All right, you ready for some game previews? Game previews. What do you think, inadvertent Bane?
I believe Boston and Milwaukee will be the best game of the evening.
Really, inadvertent Bane? Well, interesting. Because we have the Bucks at Boston. Let me see the dawn. Dawn, 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 dawn. Can the Bucks role players step up on the road? Can Thonsong? Deli. What about Jabari Parker and Eric Bledsoe? Not just role players. They need to step up as well and just actually not play like shit. Marcus Smart has been upgraded to questionable for this game as well, but pretty interesting to note, like, figure out how much of an impact he'll have after a long-ass layoff. Will the Double J's bring it again at home after Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum had a massive game four to bring Boston all the way back, even though they still lost on that Giannis tip-in? I don't know. I kind of think I've got Boston in this. Home crowd will be absolutely bananas. I still think this goes seven, though. I feel like Boston might win this. Milwaukee win game six, and it goes back to Boston for game seven. So give me Boston in game five. Going to be fun as hell. Closeout game, Miami at Philly. Oh, Philly with a chance to finish out the series at home. Ben Simmons out there laying more wood than a Wodonga wood chopper. Joel Embiid in his two first playoff games is a total of 37 points, 19 rebounds, and 8 blocks. Now, this is going to be fascinating game five. And it really obviously depends once more on whether or not the Sixers are shooters actually get going. And you know what? I think with the excitement, it might be a little bit much. I think Miami might just flex a little bit and maybe sneak this one out in Philly. And then I think Philly might win it back again in Miami. It's tricky. But it's going to be amazing watching Joel Embiid in front of that home crowd. So I wouldn't be surprised if Miami went a bit, look, fuck it, give me Philly. I just want to go for them because Joel Embiid at home in his first playoff game at home, amazing. And then finally, Spurs at Warriors. Yep, come on. Sorry, fare thee well. Spurs, we'll miss you. We'll miss talking about how fucking weird it is that your best player doesn't want to play with you. And the Warriors will move on to face the New Orleans Pelicans. The Warriors, they'll crush it. And you know what? We crushed it as well. That's it for today. That's been NBA Straya. We're back tomorrow with more ridiculousness. You know, it's what we do, mate, daily. Day in, day out. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook at NBA Australia as well. Lots of stuff going on every single day across the NBA Australia social media channels, including NBA Australia Never Forget. Don't forget about that. Good one yesterday about Dante. Make sure you subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts. Chuck us a nice rating and review while you're at it, would ya? Go on. Tell a mate as well. Go, oi, dickhead. Listen to NBA Australia or fucking bash ya. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. The best band in Australia. I'll tell you that much. Extra special thanks to legends of Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Go check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. NBA Australia supports Australian fans. You know it. Seriously. House Ads, go check them out. They would have played last night. And it's an absolute fucking perler. I'll tell you that much. Really good. So, that's it. Stick around for a brand new Joe Ingles HR manager. And we will catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, who's on? G'day, it's Joe Ingles here, in for my usual front-facing weekly appointment in the NBA Australia office, taking a break from the playoffs and smashing the Thunder and Playoff P to answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. Yeah, that's right, I didn't go to uni in Canberra and live all around the globe just in order to play basketball. I also got my human resources degree, so I'm most qualified to help out with any questions you might have about pretty much any topic. After all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. So, let's get to today's question. It comes from Damien in Portland. It reads, Dear Joe, trust this missive finds you well. My salutations to yourself and your family. Oh, that's very nice, Damien. I have a query for your esteemed mind as it pertains to my employment situation. See, my place of employment is undergoing seismic changes after we suffered some quite hefty losses that left our organization reeling. We now have to reassess and reevaluate our position. But to be honest, our situation feels a bit hopeless. Too many employees in redundant roles and too few peers that I can rely on when we need someone to shine. And suddenly, we're reevaluating our position as an organization as I now go on vacation. So my query is, how hard ought I push for sweeping organizational changes to be implemented when I get back? And what are the optimal ways to go about such drastic changes? Yours, Damien, Portland. Oh, wow. What a wonderfully worded question, Damien. That was very eloquent, mate. That's also a great question. Thank you for taking the time to write in. And yes, every workplace presents numerous unique challenges, and navigating trying times for any organization can be particularly difficult. As a HR manager, I'd always say push for what's best for the company. If you're not moving forward, you're stagnating. And if the best way to move forward is to take a drastic course of action, including reducing headcount or headhunting employees in your field, then I'm all for it. After all, that's where HR manager Joe Ingles shines. The best way to go about it is to call it an aggressive restructuring in order to optimize intersectional department synergy and take long meetings in austere boardrooms to hash out new long-winded business plans that will ensure management keep their jobs or get a nice payout and everyone can say, see, we are doing something. That way, you get a fresh new approach and keep up appearances of being a strong and healthy organization who's not afraid of making the tough decisions. Oh, and make sure you keep the rest of your fellow employees in the dark. That way, when it hits, they don't steal office supplies. Easy. After all, as we say in HR, the best way forward is to fire everyone but the HR department. Anyway, there you go, Damien. I'd suggest an aggressive restructuring. And best of luck. I hope you and your fellow employees can get past this adversity, focus your human resources, and enjoy a healthy workplace environment and organizational success. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the HR Q&A session, and I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.